It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
The second pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Robert Griffin III, quarterback, Baylor.
As you hear, we're welcome back to the Tony Sands Show once again. Here we are Wednesday, and we're talking NFL Draft. When we talk NFL Draft, you're talking lives could be changed within 48 to 72 hours. Young men's lives could change. Their childhood dreams will be coming true if they get picked either in the first or the second and the seventh round of this year's 2013 NFL draft that is taking place in New York. There were several guys that elected not to join the party in New York. There were several guys decided they would stay with their families. The people who seen them all the way through this process, they would stay at home or they would join them at some type of function that they would do with themselves and the people that are close to them. We also have joining the show my draft experts, Mr. Bibbs out of Dallas, Texas, who will also talk Dallas Cowboy football, who the Cowboys we find are in a bit of a mess when it comes to this year's draft due to the fact that there is no money for the Cowboys to pay a lot of draft picks. We'll also talk to our main man, Von Carter, who handles the orange. That's right, I said the orange of John Elway and Peyton Manning. He will give us his insight on who he think that the Broncos will pick at their number 28th pick, because the Broncos has the number 28th pick. Do we see them going defensive tackle, or do we see them going in another direction far as offensive line go to help continue to block and be successful for Peyton Manning? Or do we see the Dallas Cowboys possibly making some moves up or down to see if they can solidify what they call a run for the championship? We'll also have joining us later in the show, in the second half of the show, we'll have UM's top draft prospect, defensive back out of Plantation, Florida, Brandon McGee, will join the Tony Sands Show as we talk to him about how he feels and where he think he possibly may go in this year's draft. Guys, this is a show that you don't want to miss. If you are a football player, this is the show for you today. You can call us here on the show. Chime in. We would love to chime in on your team and who you think your team will pick. You can call us on the show. Man, we want to hear from you. So call us here on the show. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Chiefs has the number one pick, and they have been filling calls for possibly that number one pick. But do they give up that number one pick? Because they're in a bit of a dilemma also. They're in a bit of a dilemma also because do they give up that pick and possibly lose their offensive tackle, Brandon Albert, to the Miami Dolphins? Do they give up that pick and say, "Ah, we don't need it. We'll give it up. We'll let it go to let him go to the Miami Dolphins, and we do not feel that we'll draft down because we feel like there's a lot of offensive tackles in this draft." But we're going to leave that up to you, the guests, as we continue to talk here on the Tony Sands Show. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, our main man draft expert that will talk about Dallas Cowboy football, Mr. Bibbs. How you doing, Bibbs?
What's going on, Tony? How you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I've been, been beating the war room, trying to figure out who's going where, when they're going where. Man, and then I'm looking at your team that you cover, the Dallas Cowboys, trying to figure out what's their plans and what do Jerry Jones and his son have planned to help the Dallas Cowboys get back on top. What are some of the things that you're hearing that are going on at Big D, at Valley Ranch?
Well, you know, just to start off, I kind of feel like the Cowboys are in a situation where they really don't know what to do as far as who to draft for this within the draft that's coming up tomorrow. For one thing, I do know is that Jerry Jones is absolutely in love with safety out of Texas, Kenny Vaccaro.
Correct.
But at the same time, you get a draft. You have to draft what you need most. And not to say that the Cowboys don't need a safety, but at the same time, the interior offensive line was abysmal last year. And correct. I honestly think that they need an offensive guard or possibly an offensive tackle to shore up their offensive line, to go forth next season. They've had a couple of different, draft prospects. Like I said, Kenny Vaccaro was one. DJ Fluker, the offensive tackle out of Alabama, was also real high on that draft board as of now. But the thing is, we're not sure if any of those quality offensive tackles or offensive linemen in general will be on the board by the time the Cowboys pick at the number 18 spot. Now, Jerry is also loves to trade down or trade up in draft like he did last year to get Morris Claiborne. And that's also been a rumor going around Dallas that he might possibly trade down, but we really don't know right now. They kind of like in the whirlwind. They don't know really what to do. And with them picking at 18, they're kind of just waiting in the wind to see who falls in their lap, basically.
But I just said, going up and going down. When you take that chance to go up or possibly go down, you got to be able to give a team something if you go up. Even if you go down, a team going to want some type of compensation. How high can you see possibly the Dallas Cowboys deciding to go up to grab an offensive tackle? Or do you see them saying, we stay where we at and we still can get our quality safety guy that we need at the number 18th pick? Do you see them saying that they can stay now? But it's been rumors also that the Dallas Cowboys may go defensive tackle and the one defensive tackle out of Missouri. Do you see that happen?
Sheldon Richardson?
Sheldon Richardson, correct.
Right. But there's also been, some things going on about defensive tackle out of Utah. Star, I don't really know how to say his last name, but you know what I'm talking about, Star.
Yes.
They had a couple of health issues with it right before the draft combine kicked off. But, defensive tackle is a major need for the Cowboys within that 4-3 defense that they're going to be installing this coming up season. So, that's also been a rumor that they might go defensive tackle. Like I said, they have so many holes right now to fill, they really don't know what to do. And, I personally probably wouldn't know what to do neither. So, I really think they just might pick the best player available at that position. That's my gut feeling.
Right, but now, if they decide to go Star, and that's the defensive tackle out of Utah, Star Luke DeLeo, if they decide to go him, then they got to go up.
Definitely. Because they have to trade up, and then that means you have to possibly give up draft picks in later rounds a big lump sum of money, which if you give up draft picks in the later rounds, then you'll lose some type of quality as far as adding players to fill holes on your football team. So,
can they afford that, though? Can they afford that?
I mean, the Cowboys can afford just about anything, but now, as far as the caps and the salary goes, I really don't know how that goes as far as, picking draft picks or whatever, but I think they can afford it, but I wouldn't do it. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't trade up this year. I'll stay where I'm at and just see what comes to me. I think if Jerry just stays where he's at 18, someone will slide in the draft, which happens just about every year.
Correct.
And you just go ahead and pick that player, which best suits your system, which is you need a guard, you need an offensive tackle, you need a defensive tackle, or safety. And if you get any one of those positions that were highly ranked on your draft board, not necessarily everybody else's draft board, but on your draft board, that person falls to you, then you go ahead and you take them, and then you see what you can do in the second round.
But we're gonna let's play. I wanna play a little audio soundbite of what is being said by the safety out of Kenny Vaccaro. Let's see what I want to see what's being. There's some things that's being said about him, and I have an audio soundbite that we're gonna play, and you know that we're gonna play about what's being said about this young man and how interested are the Dallas Cowboys for this guy, and let's listen to it, and then we'll come back and we'll get deeper into his possibly being picked by the draft Dallas Cowboys, or do they stay where they at and they go after Sheldon, the lineman at Missouri. Let's listen to this.
Hey, two of the last 3 years, guys, we have seen the safety go in the top 10. Last year, Tampa Bay took Mark Barron at 7. 2 years ago, the Chiefs going Eric Berry at number 5. Actually, that was 3 years ago. This year, the top safety is Kenny Vaccaro out of Texas, and he has a busy travel schedule in Miami today to visit the Dolphins. The Dolphins select at number 12, and then tomorrow, he's going to go to New Orleans and visit with the Saints. The Saints picking at number 15.
Now, if you heard that soundbite, either the Saints at 15 or the Miami Dolphins at number 12 could possibly take this safety also. Now, does that put the Dallas Cowboys in a dilemma if they're trying to go the best safety? If they're trying to go the best safety, because it goes back to what we said earlier, they would have to go up to get that safety. They would have to jump up 3 spots at number 15 to beat out the Saints, or they would have to jump up even more spots for the Miami Dolphins if they're trying to beat out the Miami Dolphins for this pick? Or do you see that as being possibly a smoke screen? These teams really don't want this guy, because the Miami Dolphins, I know, need offensive lineman help big time. They need offensive lineman help big time. And is it a smoke screen that we have in play? So the Miami Dolphins, are they shooting a smoke screen to possibly use the Dallas Cowboys? We know you want this safety, but if you want this safety, you may have to jump up some spots to get him. And now that puts them in a situation where the Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys got to juggle. Or do the Dallas Cowboys say, that's a smoke screen, he'll be available, we know what they are going after, and we know that they need offensive line help? I don't see them picking up a safety that early because of their need at the offensive line. Now, I'm gonna tell you, there's been a lot of moves that's going on within the last 24 hours, and a lot of trade talk also that's being talked about. When you look at Kansas City, who has the number one pick, Brandon Albers, their offensive tackle could possibly be traded to the Miami Dolphins. And what do the Miami Dolphins at that time give the Kansas City Chiefs in that situation? For that, I mean, the franchise tender is worth $9.82 million for the 2013. And will the Chiefs automatically turn that over to the Miami Dolphins and say, hey, you guys can have him, but we want some picks? It's a lot of things that will take place within the next 24 hours. But also, it's gonna be three of us breaking down this first round. And also, we're going to bring on my main man out of Denver, who handles the Denver Broncos, also my main man Von Carter. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Von. What's going on, man?
Good evening, Tony. Fantastic to be with you. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Me and Bibbs here was just talking a little thing before we brought you on. We're talking Dallas Cowboys and where they could possibly pick. Do they stay at 18? Do they possibly move up to try to get the guy that they want? Because, as you heard the earlier soundbite that I played, the safety that they're trying to get could possibly, he's visited Miami and he's visited New Orleans, with Miami having the number 12 pick and the Saints having the number 15th pick, do one of those teams bluff the Cowboys and say, hey, we're going to take this tackle. We're going to bring the safety in because we know you want this safety out of Texas. We know you want him. We're going to bring him in at one of those two picks, and now we use that as trade bait, bargaining tool for the Cowboys to say, okay, we'll jump up, we'll give you some draft choices later in the later rounds to get our guy, or do the Cowboys say they're just bluffing and we know they need more help? Because when you look at the Saints, I don't see them going in that direction. But, you know, stranger things has happened. I see the Saints needing an offense. I mean, an outside linebacker. I really do. But what do you think? You are a guy that deals with the Denver Broncos. But what do you see, if you possibly see, which direction will the Dallas Cowboys go in to get their guy? Do they stay where they are, or do they possibly go up? What do you think with the kind of guy Jerry Jones is? What's your opinion on that?
You know, it's an interesting question, Tony. I mean, Kenny Vaccaro, the safety that you mentioned, and now the University of Texas, is a highly sought-after safety, possibly the best safety in the draft this year. So if the Dallas Cowboys are going to get him, I mean, we got to look at a couple of teams. As you mentioned, the New Orleans Saints are a competitive team that possibly might be looking for Vaccaro. The Miami Dolphins are also a team that possibly might want to take him. But let's also consider the Carolina Panthers, who have a terrible secondary. No safety help. They're a team that could possibly take Kenny Vaccaro. And then also let's consider also the St. Louis Rams, who picked before the Dallas Cowboys.
Correct. So
the Cowboys, I think, if they really want this Kenny Vaccaro safety, I think they're really going to have to possibly move up to get him. Now, with that being said, Tony, I mean, at the same time, the offensive line for the Cowboys needs a lot of help. So I'm looking at maybe like a DJ Fluker, offensive tackle out of the University of Alabama, possibly being somebody they could go after.
But now, will these guys be available at the number 18th pick for the Dallas Cowboys to jiggle, or do they got to make a strong move to try to move up to try to get the guy that they want? Because they also now they're in need of the defensive tackle. Now they need a defensive tackle, and they're looking at the guy out of, you know, Shelton Richardson out of Missouri. Do they gamble with that, or do they? I see them needing, to me, with them, which they need a lot of. There's a lot of things that the Cowboys need, but there's only a certain amount of things that they're going to be able to get in this draft. And I'm going to say, with the type of guy that Jerry Jones is, Jerry Jones loves Texas guys and he loves Arkansas guys. So if I was a bed man on that pick, I'm going to say they stay at number 18, and the guy that they want, Kenny Vaccaro, I see he's there, and I see them going with a safety over a defensive tackle with the gambling type of guy that Jerry Jones is. I see that, folks, because I know he loves Arkansas. If you're an Arkansas player, or if you're a Texas player, buddy, you penciled in that war room with Jerry Jones, and you know that war room will be filled with him and his son. But guys, let's get into breaking down a little bit of the first round. At least let's look at the first, possibly the first 10 picks. Let's kind of break that down, and let's look at some of the picks. Let's start with Kansas City, because we spoke about Kansas City earlier, and we said that they possibly can trade their offensive tackle, Brandon Abbotts, to the Miami Dolphins, because that has been the talk, and they stay with the offensive tackle out of Texas A&M. Vaughn, give me your opinion on do they stay with a proven guy, or do they go and say, hey, we want a younger guy, we're going to go with the offensive tackle, we're going to trade Brandon Abbotts to the Miami Dolphins for more picks? What's your take on that?
I think the Kansas City Chiefs, being that they have a new regime right now, new head coach Andy Reid now comes in, they have a new general manager, I think that they're going to want to definitely get an offensive lineman. I think Brandon Albert is definitely going to be traded to be able to pick up some more picks, to be able to infuse some more talent onto this roster, the Kansas City Chiefs. So with that being said, I think a guy like Eric Fisher, offensive tackle out of University of Central Michigan, is a guy that they're really going to target at the first spot. And I think he's actually going to be the guy, the first man off the board.
Hey, Bibbs, give me what's your take on that? Which one of those two offensive tackles you go with?
I definitely think that Albert will be traded also. And like my man said, he said that Eric Fisher will be the first offensive tackle taken off the board. I definitely agree with that. I think the Kansas City will be the will take Eric Fisher. I don't think they'll go any other direction. I don't think they'll trade out of that spot or anything. They take Eric Fisher with that pick, and that's it.
But now, wait a minute. Now, what about the opposite? I like the opposite. Now, do you say, okay, we go Central Michigan with the smaller school guy over a guy that has played in the SEC? If you're talking big-time football, do you go with the big-time program or do you go with the smaller guy? Now, when you look at these two and you compare these two guys to each other, like I said, Eric Fisher, 6'7", 306. You know, his arms are 34 in, you know, width, wingspan 34. Hands are 10 and 3/8 inches wide. He runs a 5.0540. Or do you go with a guy that played tough football, Luke Joelekel, out of A&M, which, like I say, this guy here ran a 5.3, 6'6", 307. You know, his arms are 34.28 in wingspan. Which one? So you guys are – I'm going to go with the guy to A&M. If I'm looking at that and I'm saying with the Chiefs pick, I'm going to go with Luke because I feel like he's played a tougher brand of football. And I think he – you know, playing in the SEC, you're playing a stiff – competition. So in that, I'm going to go with A&M guy because I feel like he's a tougher guy. You two guys goes with Fisher. And let's break down because there are in the top five picks, guys. If we look at it, the top five picks, there's possibly three offensive tackles that can go up. When we mentioned Fisher and we mentioned Luke. But now let's not forget about Lane Johnson, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Now, this guy can fly to be 6'6", 303 pounds. This guy ran a 4.72. He's not a slouch guy neither. That could possibly sneak up in that top five picks to be picked up in this first five picks. But now let's go to Jacksonville. Let's break down Jacksonville, and we know Jacksonville is another team that, due to the fact of where they're picking at, we know there are a lot of need in their situation. I see them possibly going Deion Jordan, the outside linebacker out of Oregon. Is there any Bibbs, let's start with you first. Do you see them going in another direction to pick up another type of guy? Or do you see them now? You got to figure. Also, that was saying they also been looking at Geno Smith at that pick. Do you see them going quarterback, or do you see the offense, or do you see them going defense?
Well, my good opinion, I think that Jacksonville will go with an offensive tackle also. I mean, it just, you can't really pass up on Luke Joker or Eric Fisher at those top two spots. Now, they do need a quarterback because I really believe that Gabbert is not the answer for them at that position, but you possibly could pick up a quarterback in a later round with that being said. But I think that Jacksonville goes with Joker at the second overall pick in this year's draft.
Vaughn, what's your take on it? Here we are. We're in our war room, guys, and we're picking for our team. So who do you see the Jacksonville Jaguars picking up?
I have to agree with you, actually. I like the Deion Jordan kid out of the University of Oregon. I mean, the kid's 6'6", 248 pounds, a lot of speed and a lot of versatility. And I think Jacksonville is void of a pass rusher. I mean, we haven't ever seen a good pass rusher or a certified pass rusher on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have a new regime going on over there. Their head coach comes from the Seattle Seahawks, a coach that's going to require a lot of pass rush from his defense. So I think Deion Jordan is a viable pick possibly for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the two spot.
So by saying that, that means that we're saying that the Jacksonville Jaguars are content with Blaine Gabbert as their quarterback and not going after Geno Smith. Now, and it's been said now, Geno Smith will be the top quarterback possibly taken in this draft. Now, if we get past Cleveland, that can possibly drop Geno Smith down to the later picks of the first round from 20 on down. Do he sit in the war room like we've seen Aaron Rodgers and what's that guy named, the quarterback some years ago that sat all the way where the commissioner brought him into his room?
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn. Do we see this possibly? Do we see a possibly Aaron Rodgers or Brady Quinn situation in taking place with Geno Smith if you don't get picked up in those top five picks?
I got Geno Smith going to the New York Jets with the 13th pick that they acquired from Tampa Bay for Darrelle Revis.
Oh, yeah. That, now, I'm going to tell you. But now, what kind of message do that send in a city that's already in chaos with quarterbacks and a quarterback that they don't know what they want to do with, and then another quarterback that's still trying to, and Sanchez is trying to find, do he really belongs to the Jets Nation? If they bring in Geno Smith, what happens?
You got to understand, Tony, I mean, Mark Sanchez is only on the books for this year for $8 million for salary this year, but he doesn't have a contract after this season. So the Jets drafting Geno Smith with a new general manager and possibly a new head coach next year, if Rex Ryan doesn't get this turned around real fast, I mean, Geno Smith could be a guy that they could plug in to be the quarterback starting next year. You know, he could watch for this starting season for now, but then they could plug him in as the starter for next season or the quarterback of the future.
But now you take Geno Smith in. Does this cause more controversy? At what point do you have to get rid of Tim Tebow?
Well, I think Tim Tebow is already gone. I think after the draft is over, I think Tim Tebow will be released. I don't think that he's actually a viable candidate to even be on the roster at this point, especially being that they have a new general manager from the Seattle Seahawks, John Entwick. I mean, now that he's come over, I mean, has no allegiance to Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez, or any of these quarterbacks on the current roster. So I think a quarterback is somebody that they'll be targeting, and I think that Tim Tebow will definitely be released after the draft.
Bibbs, what's your take on it? Do you see Tim Tebow being released, and as the future?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely see Tim Tebow being released after the draft is over. There's really no spot for him on the New York Jets roster as of now. I mean, last year they brought him in, and you see what circus that brought to their team and how far they fell from where they were previously. And not to mention, I think that, you know, with Tim Tebow being behind Mark Sanchez, that played a part in his abysmal season that he played last year. Like, I never was the biggest Mark Sanchez fan when he came out of USC, but I did watch him, you know, not necessarily take his team to those AFC championship games, but he was the quarterback, so he did play a part in that. But the one thing that I saw that the New York Jets were missing was a run game. While when they were going to those AFC championship games, they had a viable run game, run attack, and they were missing that this last season. And that's why I feel like Mark Sanchez struggled so much this past season. So I'm not sure if they'll take a quarterback at that spot, but it's always a possibility. Mark Sanchez, I mean, he's Mark Sanchez. And he hasn't really done much since those two AFC championship appearances. And if it's in the NFL league, it's a what have you done for me lately? And if he hasn't done much, time to go.
That is true. It's time to go. But now my question is, do Mark Sanchez, to stay on the Jets topic, do Mark Sanchez come out with Geno Smith in his back pocket? Do he come out and have a stellar season? And now does this continue to cause more controversy with the New York Jets? Guys, we're going to head to a commercial, and we're going to come back and continue with the circus that is going on in New York with the Jets. Do Darrelle Revis trade to Tampa Bay have an effect on this draft? Stay tuned here as we go to a commercial break, come back and see what we say about our main man, Darrelle Revis. Will he be ready for day one of the Tampa Bay Bucs season? Stay tuned as you come back with my main man, Mr. Bibbs and Von Carter, draft experts here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Fans at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope pole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it?
It's already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
The second pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Robert Griffin III, quarterback, Baylor.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking NFL Draft. People, you know, within 24 hours, possibly 72 hours, as that song stated, it'll be some men that will be rising to the top. Their dreams will come true. They will be officially NFL players. You're joined here with me, Tony Sands, and two of my draft experts, Mr. Bibbs and Mr. Von Carter. Von covers the Denver Broncos. Bibb covers the Dallas Cowboys here for the Tony Sands Show. If you want to chime in and call and give us your opinion on your team and who you think your team will pick, and chime in on our war room here on the Tony Sands Show, you can call us at 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471 to join in on our draft topics and who we think and where do we think these young men will go here on their draft day. But guys, let's get back to some of our picks. I think one of our interesting pick also that I want to look at that I think can go either way. Let's look at the Cleveland Browns and Dee Milliner. Now, you know, there's been a lot of talk within the last 48 hours about Dee Milliner and his surgeries that he has. How do you see, Vaughn, how do you see that affecting where he goes in this first round? Do you feel those surgeries will hurt him, or do you feel the team say, being that he's playing cornerback, we don't got to worry about it. He's not playing offensive lineman, where this injury will hurt him in the shoulder, or do they say, hey, Cleveland, we picked this guy up?
You know, that's an interesting question, Tony. I mean, Dee Milliner is definitely probably the top-rated cornerback coming into this NFL draft this season, but have to be honest with you. I'm unaware if Cleveland's actually going to be able to get Dee Milliner, because I like the Detroit Lions actually picking Dee Milliner with the fifth overall pick. I mean, the Detroit Lions, Tony, I mean, they have a terrible secondary, one of the worst in the NFL. I mean, D. Milner at Detroit would be a perfect acquisition. So I'm unaware if Cleveland's actually going to be able to even get D. Milner, if he's even going to be available but at that time. Although, with, as you're saying, though, I mean, it's a good pick. If Cleveland were to actually get him, put him across from Joe Hedden, which is the corner that they got a few years ago, that would be a superstar tandem cornerback but trio. But I actually believe that the Detroit Lions are actually going to get D. Milner with the fifth overall pick.
Now, as we stated, if D. Milner is not around, Bibbs, if D. Milner is not around, do they, the Cleveland Browns, say, hey, okay, we lost our guy. Now do we go outside linebacker, and do they pick up Deion Jordan? Do they pick up Deion Jordan for that pick?
Possibly. If Miller is not around, I would go Deion Jordan because they lost. I mean, they don't really have a pass rush, you know, up in Cleveland. I can't name one pass rusher on their defensive line, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely would go Deion Jordan. Like, he's a standout kid, and he's, like, the best defensive outside linebacker I've seen in this year's draft, so why not, you know? And D. Milner, I probably think he could fly. You know, with I didn't hear about this, you know, yesterday, about all the surgeries that he had, you know, and with that being said, is that a durability issue? I'm not sure. I mean, he had, what, 5 surgeries within his, college career? So, you know, with that being said, I kind of feel like he might be a durability issue, and you might want to second guess whether or not you want to pick this player at so high in the draft.
Right. Now, so now, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you spend a lot of money with him, picking him within the top 10. So, you know, you might, if he flies, you might can get him later, but maybe not.
Now, Alabama's doctor has, you know, pretty much stated that this guy will be ready at the season opener. They say he will be ready at the season opener. So now, if they decide, Cleveland decide that they can't get D. Milner, and all of a sudden, now, Deion Jordan is gone. Do they go LSU and they go Domingo, then they go Mingo and decide, hey, this is our safe pick. We know this guy here is available and he will be available, because you know, in that war room, they're juggling because they know everyone wants that pick. You want the pick that's going to fit your need. And I'm going to tell you guys, I see him being around. I see D. Milner being around, and I see the Cleveland Browns taking him and saying, you know what, his surgery as a defensive back won't affect him at that position. Now, if I was talking offensive tackle, then, guys, yeah, that would be because his ability to punch and he got a set, that would affect him. But I don't see that affecting him as a corner. I see them, he's being available, and I see the Cleveland Browns selecting D. Milner. But now, guys, listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is the NFL draft that we are talking about, and as I told you, 48 hours to 72 hours, some guys' lives will be changed. Will be changed forever, because they will be, at that time, looked at as an elite player at their position in their game. And with that being said, guys, we're going to bring to the show, and I have this guy on. Guys, this guy I've watched come up from the high school ranks, watch him come up through college, and is a guy that has a tremendous, tremendous upside and will. Once he's on a team, he's going to give them their all on and off the field. We bring to the Tony Sands Show a guy that is waiting on that call, Brandon McGee, the University of Miami's top prospect for the 2013 NFL Draft. Welcome to the show, Brandon McGee.
Hey, what's up, D? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. Anytime that I can have a guy of your caliber here on the Tony Sands Show is always special. As you can hear, we're talking NFL draft. We're here in my war room, as I call my war room, and we're deciding who's going where, and we're letting the fans know that their team might go this way, their team might go that way. But give me your opinion. You're a guy here now that is waiting on that call. You're waiting on that call, as I said, between that 72-hour maximum time span, you're waiting on that call. What has the last couple of nights been like for yourself? And let people know what this pressure is like to get your childhood dream accomplished.
Oh, man, right now, first and foremost, just want to say it's a blessing. You know, a lot of guys that I've grown up with, you know, they don't have this opportunity, you know, just to be in this position to be chosen, you know, by NFL teams. So first and foremost, it's a blessing. And, you know as well as I know, you know, at times the draft can be unpredictable. So it's really a waiting game at this point. You know, me, myself, personally, continuing to stay in shape, grind as hard as I can. But, I mean, it's a blessing, as I said before, you know, just coming up and having the opportunity to, you know, literally live out a dream.
Now, when that call is made, and, you know, fans watch this big time because, you know, they start tweeting and they're saying, hey, here we are. We got Brandon McGee. We got Brandon McGee, player out of the University of Miami, guy that has played top-notch football, that has played physical football, guy that can move and a guy that can go. I think your time was in at the combine, you was in the top 12 or 13 in the 40-yard dash. What do you let a fans know and general manager know what type of player they're getting when they get Brandon McGee?
Man, first and foremost, again, a smart guy, definitely an accountable guy, responsible player at the same time, and on the field, the competitor. You know, just being from South Florida, growing up in South Florida, and playing for the Miami Hurricanes, you know, you naturally develop that competitive fire. So anytime I'm on the field, you know, I'm there to compete. You know, and I can set my sights on being the best, and that's the standard that I hold myself to.
Brandon, what is the one thing? What is the one thing that you would like people to know about you that not many people know, and that one thing make you who you are? What is that one thing that you would like people to know that's special about you?
Man, I think the biggest thing is just I come from humble beginnings. Truthfully, I'm a relentless guy. I handle adversity well. Even growing up throughout my childhood, you know, I handled adversity throughout my life. So, you know, a lot of people may not know, you know, my background story or whatnot, but, you know, if they really take the time out just get to know me as an individual, I think, you know, they'll definitely respect me, not just as a player, but as a person.
And you said humble beginnings, because when you think about humble beginnings, that is something that comes from parents. And you said you've gone through some difficulties in your early childhood years. For those that don't know, Brandon is a guy, as he said, he's come from humble beginnings, but there are some tragedies that have been in his life. Brandon, for those that are listening to this show, what are some of those tragedies that have happened to you, and how have those tragedies built you to who you are as a man right now?
Just seeing my father battle with cancer. I was in fourth grade and remember seeing him weighing 98 pounds and I was weighing the same at that time. So just seeing that, you know, as a young kid, you know, it definitely does something to your mental. But and also seeing my mother battle with cancer and her, you know, unfortunately losing, you know, the battle. But you know, that she's definitely in a better place now. And I think, you know, going through that just kind of teaches you how to adapt, you know, to life, you know, and understand that, you know, whatever life may throw, you just have to, you know, adjust to it. And, you know, although that was a tragic, you know, moment, you know, at the same time, I'm thankful for it because I learned a lot going through that. You know, I grew as a man and, you know, I am who I am today because of what I went through.
And Brandon, also joining the show here with us is my expert draft guy. Guys, I went out of Dallas, Texas, and that's Mr. Bibb, and my also Vaughn Carter out of the Denver Broncos. Vaughn, is there anything that you would like to ask Brandon McGee while we have him here on the air?
Absolutely. First, Brandon, I want to commend you on your collegiate career, brother. It's been a pleasure watching you from afar and what you've done in your collegiate career. I mean, salute to you, and I know this has to be a joyous and great moment for you right now as you wait, as Tony mentioned before, for the NFL draft to start. But my question to you is moving, transitioning from the NCAA game to the NFL game now, what are some of the things that you need to work on to be able to step up to the next level, to be able to compete with them other NFL athletes that play the quarterback position?
Well, me personally, I'm my own worst critic. So, you know, if I say something I had to improve on, I think it's everything, every aspect of my game. I don't want to just, you know, single one aspect out. I feel like, you know, if you're not growing, if you're not improving, then, you know, you're there. So me personally, whether it's tackling, catching the ball, my press technique, reacting to the receivers, picking up the defense, every single aspect of my game, you know, I want to take it to the next level and improve.
Right. And what NFL teams have actually, you know, you, as Tony mentioned before, you had a great NFL combine. What NFL teams have spoken to you possibly about drafting you tomorrow or possibly in the next few days?
I've spoken with a number of teams, a lot of teams actually. So just about every team you can think of, I've probably spoken with them. But, you know, as I said before, you know, this draft is unpredictable. So it's really just a waiting game at this point. And, you know, you never know what can happen. You know, one pick can alter the entire draft. So at this point, you know, I'm just waiting.
And Brandon, you said one pick can alter the draft. And the pick that possibly, well, not a pick, but a trade that took place, you know, with Darrelle Revis can possibly change this draft. And does it help or hurt certain players? But Darrelle Revis, as we talked about earlier, was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, if you get an opportunity, ever get, can you imagine what it would feel like, Brandon, to play on the opposite side of a guy like Darrelle Revis? Do that ever cross your mind?
Man, absolutely. Absolutely. Just watching a lot of these guys. But, you know, Darrelle Revis in particular, you know, one of the corners that been at that's been at the top of his game now for some years. You know, being able to, you know, be up under that and kind of, you know, embrace him as a mentor and just, you know, allow myself to soak up as much knowledge as I can from a guy like Darrelle Revis, you know, that's a blessing.
And I tell people all the time when I talk about you, I talk about how a young man like yourself, and like you say, you've been being mentored all the way through this game. You had an opportunity also in your college years to work side by side with another top corner, and that was Al Harris, that also imparted some knowledge in you. When you got opportunity to train side by side with guys that's already in the league and guys that are elite at their game, how does that affect you going into this game? And when you have a young man that is trying to get where you're going, do it open your eyes to help you help someone else?
Absolutely. And I think that's really what the main goal is really, you know, reaching back and bringing somebody along with you. And as you said, you know, I had the opportunity to work alongside Al Harris, which was a blessing in itself. And just really being able to pick his brain, you know, pick a lot of these guys' brain. And, you know, whenever, you know, a high school guy or college guy reaches out to me, you know, I try to, you know, provide as much, you know, knowledge or advice as I can because, you know, I want the same. So, you know, I embrace those younger guys that look up to me and, you know, they motivate me in a sense.
And we have our expert guy out of Dallas, Texas, that handles the Dallas Cowboys, Mr. Bibbs. Bibbs, do you have anything for Mr. Brandon McGee before we let him continue to wonder what goes on between now and Saturday with his career? Is there anything you would like to ask?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. First off, I just want to say congratulations on all your accomplishments and second of all, good luck with that draft coming up tomorrow. My only question is, what team do you think you fit perfectly with, like as far as scheme-wise, coaching, any coaches you talk to specifically that you might feel like you might bond with easily more than another coach?
Well, you know, I had an opportunity to meet with a lot of teams, meet with a lot of coaches, and just about every coach, you know, they treat it as a profession, as a business. So I wouldn't say that there's one team or one coach that I favor over another. But, you know, I also think that's one of my biggest assets is being versatile, you know, being able to grasp a zone defense, grasp a man defense, play inside at the nickel position, play outside at the corner position as well. But me personally, I like to play man defense. But, you know, if I go to a zone scheme, you know, I'm also able to play the zone scheme as well. So you know, I have a preference. You know, whatever team drafts me, you know, they're going to be getting a quality player, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, okay. Do you feel like you can come in from day one and be a starter?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm going to come in day one and compete. You know, that's just in my nature. You know, it's also a lot of factors that go into it. But my main goal is really just to get in the camp and learn as much as I can. And when the opportunity presents itself, you know, keep my faith in that little bit.
And that's and guys, people that are joining, that was this is Brandon McGee of the University of Miami as he awaits to see which team picks him and letting them know that they are getting a quality guy. Brandon, thank you for taking the time out to join me and my guests here on the Tony Sands Show, man. Hey, you know, I am waiting just as you is waiting.
Right.
You continue to keep your head up, man, and let's continue to keep grinding and grinding and grinding, as we call it, on your career here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you for taking the time out.
I appreciate it, too.
No problem, man. See you later.
All right.
Guys, that was Brandon McGee here on the Tony Sands Show as he talked about his future and his tragedies and his upbringing. V-Man, it never amazed me when you hear those stories. There's so many stories like Brandon's that we talk about going into this draft. Guys who've – now, this guy's been affected by tragedy on both sides, not so much as the death, but one death in his mom having cancer and dying and his father having cancer. Wow, that's a lot for a young man at the age of 13 to take on. You know,
but one thing I can say about that, like he said, it made him into the person that he is today. You know, those tragedies, I don't really feel like God makes him, he don't make any mistakes. So, you know, he might have took this person from you that might have been dearly to you. But at the end of the day, it's all for a greater purpose. And I feel like he's where he's at right now because of what he went through as a youngster.
Now, let's get back into some of these picks. And I know... VC, I know you waiting. I know you waiting. So we're going to go ahead and get to the number 28th pick before we go off the air. Let's get to the number 28th pick. You got to give me some insight on that. Now, that you guys, when we say the number 28th pick here on the Tony Sands Show, tonight, that is the Denver Broncos. And my main man, VC, covers the Denver Broncos from inside out. Give us what's going on in the war room with John Elway on this number 28th pick. Do you guys go defensive tackle, North Carolina, Sylvester Williams, or do you go in another direction? What do you think?
Well, I'm telling you, Tony, you hit it right on the head right now. The war room is definitely excited right now. After the acquisition of Wes Welker, you've seen that the Broncos have made some huge additions. They're looking to possibly go to the Super Bowl, and they're possibly only one or two positions away from actually solidifying a run. But as we all know, Elvis Dumervil left the Denver Broncos to go to the Baltimore Ravens, so there's a huge void right now at the defensive end position. So I personally think that the Denver Broncos are going to draft a defensive end. I'm looking at a gentleman by the name of Tank Carradine, a person like that, out of the University of Florida State. I'm looking at another guy, possibly Demontre Moore, who actually fell. His stock has totally fallen because he had a terrible combine. But if you look at the tape of this kid and statistically, I mean, the kid's a four-year starter. I mean, the kid had a great collegiate career, Demontre Moore. So I think the Broncos are going to actually go Tank Carradine or Demontre Moore, whichever guy is available at that specific position, to replace Elvis Dumervil. So, you know, I could possibly see the Broncos have a lot of room left, you know, a lot of room and a lot of things they can do. Another person that the Denver Broncos could possibly consider is Bajorn Warner, defensive end out of the University of Florida State. He's also a candidate high on a lot of people's draft boards, three-year starter. You know, the guy ranges at 6'3.5", 266 pounds. He's a talented guy out of Florida State, too. So I think the Denver Broncos are going to have to mainly focus on a defensive starter. I like the idea that you mentioned Sylvester Big Cat Williams out of the University of North Carolina. He's a stud also, you know. But I think being that the Broncos solidified Terrence Knighton coming over from the Jacksonville Jaguars to be the defensive tackle, I think that the Broncos are going to have to mainly focus on the defensive end position. As I mentioned to you before, Tank Carradine or Demontre Moore is the guy who I think they'll pick at 28.
And the 28th pick, you heard it here from our Denver insider as he talked Denver Broncos football, guys. And that's here on the Tony Sands Show. Guys, we're going to close out the show. We had a great show for you. We had my main man, VC, and we had my main man, Mr. Bibbs, talking NFL draft. There will be some young men that will be able to change their lives and their family lives. And as you heard Brandon McGee speak of how he comes from humble beginnings, do these young men come into this type of money and continue to come from humble beginnings? We will find out within the next year which first round draft pick get the title bust or get the title Hall of Fame. We will continue to follow this draft here on the Tony Sands Show. My main man, VC man. Hey, you guys, take care. Let's watch this draft come tomorrow night and see if your team picks who you think they're predicted to pick here on the Tony Sands Show. Guys, thank you so much for joining the show. It's been a pleasure each and every week to have you guys on with me here on the Tony Sands Show each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you guys for joining the show. We're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.